This is A Word, a podcast from Slate. I'm your host, Jason Johnson. America has long billed itself as the land of opportunity, but for many African Americans, it's a land of broken promises, oppression, and second-class citizenship status that generations have fought and even died to overcome. Now, some Black folks are making a fresh start somewhere else.
There has been a pretty good understanding of the fact that a lot of Black Americans are in the same way that you might think someone from South or Central America moving to the United States is moving or fleeing, whether it be racism or disaster in the United States.
African Americans building an expat life in Mexico. Coming up on A Word with me, Jason Johnson. Stay with us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Can you set the stage a little bit so people understand what happened?
In 1969, 14 Black student athletes were kicked off their university's American football team for planning a show of support against racism.
We were really protesting our treatment on the field.
Amazing Sports Stories from the BBC World Service tells their story.
We became brothers that day when he did that to us.
We made a change.
Fighting for what we deserve.
Search for Amazing Sports Stories wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Welcome to A Word, a podcast about race and politics and everything else. I'm your host, Jason Johnson. The American dream has never been something Black folks in this country could count on. We're only one or two generations away from legally enforced segregation that stood in the way of equal access to quality jobs, education, and housing. Now, with voting rights under attack, climate disasters endangering more of our communities, and the threat of another Donald Trump term in the White House, many Black Americans want a path to building a life in another country, and Mexico is a top destination. But how many Black folks are willing to make this life-changing move, and what's the reality that's waiting for them south of the border? Joining us now to talk about it is Adam Mahoney. He is a climate reporter for Capital B News. Adam Mahoney, welcome back to A Word. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing this morning?
I am great. Okay, so I got to say this up front. I have very close friends who left the country and moved to Mexico. So I will be using a lot of what I have actually learned from visiting them in multiple locations to talk about this because they're not the only people that I know. So I have to start with this. In your reporting, how many Black people are in the process or have recently completed the process of moving to Mexico? Let's just say since the pandemic, since like 2020.
I would estimate there are probably thousands of folks who have made that move to Mexico specifically. About every year, there's, you know, somewhere between 500,000 to a million Americans that make that move to Mexico, even if it's a temporary move. And we've seen an uptick of close to 70% since 2019. There are Facebook pages where Black folks congregate online in Mexico, and those groups have memberships in the thousands. And I came across dozens of folks just in the short period of time that I was there.
What are the demographics of the Black people moving to Mexico? Are these retirees who are like, hey, I can move down here cheaper? Are they single people who are like, look, I can go here, make money, families? Like, what kinds of Black people are making the decision to move to Mexico?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a mix of the folks that I come across both online and then in person when I was there. It ranges from, you know, recent college grads to retired folks. I've met a couple of married couples and a couple of folks who have brought their children to Mexico. But I will say the, you know, through line amongst most folks that I talk to is it is a college educated class. It is a class of primarily low middle class to upper middle class folks who have moved to the country really in an attempt, obviously, to feel safer in a space, but also it is a place where your dollar does go a lot further and your quality of life and living is a lot greater.
I'm biased. Like I said, I have close friends who moved to Mexico. Their reasoning was similar to what you were talking about. College educated, single mom, daughter, and was thinking, I want to give her access to a whole lot of things that I can't give her in the DC metropolitan area or can't give her as cheap. So, you know, my friends went down there and her daughter's taking horseback riding and tennis and all these different kinds of things. What are some of the through line reasons that you found in your reporting? Is it primarily people saying, hey, I want to stretch a dollar? Is it primarily safety? Is it, you know, I just want to get the heck out of here because we were trapped during shutdown and the heavier parts of the pandemic? What's a through line reason for a lot of the Black expats?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say, obviously, migration really in many ways is an individual decision and an action that has a lot to do with the individual's life. But I think, you know, the major through line since the pandemic, it is a lot of remote workers. It is a lot of folks that can work anywhere. And like I said, the cost of living is a lot cheaper in Mexico. And then, like you mentioned, the amenities are quite honestly in a lot of the city centers a lot higher and stronger than American cities. But I will say that safety was a big reason why folks moved, thinking about, you know, the very visceral elements of police brutality that we all witnessed in this country at the height of the pandemic, and how that pushed folks out of city centers in the United States and a lot of people south to Mexico. And then I think I did meet a lot of folks who are trying to be entrepreneurs and trying to build their own lives and businesses, whether that be online or even in physical locations in Mexico. I spoke to a woman who just opened a soul food restaurant in Mexico City, and that has been thriving over the last year. So there's a lot of different reasons and opportunities driving people to the country.
What you mentioned is that there are lots of different kinds of reasons that people move down there. I'm also curious about region. Right? Because, for example, I know people in Southern California, like tech people who, you know, as recently as 15 years ago, were like, hey, I'm just going to move right across the border, get myself a big house. And all I have to do is go across the border every day, you know, to do my work. They didn't find it to be that difficult to commute, since you could get a nicer house right across the border in Tijuana. There's places like Mexico City, which is a huge, massive city. It's not necessarily cheaper. I have friends who moved to Merida. It's in the Yucatan. It's a small, it's a mid-sized city. It's probably the size of maybe Pittsburgh. Is there a particular region that Black people are moving to? Are they moving just across the border in Texas? Or are they moving into, say, southern parts of Mexico where they really are moving further away from American influence, cultural influence anyway?
Yeah. So from my reporting, you know, it really was evident that Black Americans are moving throughout the entire country. But I think a lot of people are finding themselves concentrated in coastal destinations like Playa del Carmen and in the big cities like Mexico City. Talking to folks who have lived in the country for many years, predating the pandemic, they have noticed a shift that, you know, Black Americans aren't really finding themselves in the northern and southern parts of the country anymore because of the quote unquote migrant crisis. And the way that Haitian migrants who are moving through the country are being treated is definitely infiltrated the ways that Black Americans are seen and treated in the country.
We're going to take a short break, and we come back more on African-American migration to Mexico. This is A Word with Jason Johnson. Stay tuned. This is Jason Johnson, host of A Word, Slate's podcast about race and politics and everything else. I want to take a moment to welcome our new listeners. If you've discovered A Word and like what you hear, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And let us know what you think by writing us at aword@slate.com. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Can you set the stage a little bit so people understand what happened?
In 1969, 14 Black student athletes were kicked off their university's American football team for planning a show of support against racism.
We were really protesting our treatment on the field.
Amazing Sports Stories from the BBC World Service tells their story.
We became brothers that day when you did that to us.
We made a change.
Fighting for what we deserve.
Search for Amazing Sports Stories wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Whether you want it.
You're listening to A Word with Jason Johnson. Today, we're talking about why more Black Americans are moving to Mexico. Our guest is Capital B news reporter Adam Mahoney. So what are some of the obstacles that Black people specifically face in relocating? Because, again, I study a lot of Mexican politics. It ain't like racism doesn't exist in Mexico. There are some structural things about Mexico, taxes, school, education, that may be complicated. Are there any specific challenges that Black people face when moving to Mexico, or does that change by region?
It's an interesting thing. You know, talking to folks, I really did try to get to, you know, understand the Black experience in the country and the way that racism might dictate their daily life. The interesting part to me was that actually a lot of folks talked about the way that class really drives your experience in Mexico more so than race to them. And I think coming in with the US dollar, obviously, it just puts you at a different level than the average Mexican. In Mexico, the minimum daily wage is about $15 for a 12-hour workday. So coming in with the US dollar, if you're working remotely, you are making, you know, anywhere from like 7 to 10 times that. So your life is a lot different. And having that blue passport allows you to come in on a tourist visa for 6 months, really without any questioning. So you're able to give the move a shot, give it a chance to build a life there without really having to make a full commitment, which has been helpful for a lot of the people that I've talked to. I will say in Mexico City specifically, which is where I was focused when I was reporting, there has been a lot of conversations around gentrification and displacement, which has left Black folks in a weird spot, right? Because a lot of Black Americans were, you know, we're no stranger to that element of gentrification and being pushed out of our homes. And on the flip side, moving to Mexico City, they are too contributing to that for Mexican nationals who are lower income. And it's actually even led to a couple of folks that I talked to really seriously considering not staying in the country long term because they felt their negative impact in a very strong way.
I'm glad that you make that point because there's a huge difference between, say, refugees coming to a country or migrant working class workers coming to a country and then wealthy people coming to a country, right? So I'd say in the last 15, 20 years, you hear about middle class Chinese people moving to Sydney, right? And there are all sorts of local responses to that. Some of it's driven by racism, some of it's driven by class. You hear about large numbers of African Americans about 20 so years ago moving to Johannesburg, South Africa, and how they were responded to. Now you got the same thing happening in Ghana with a lot of people saying, hey, I'm going to take my money from south side of Chicago, go to Ghana, build something, et cetera, et cetera. What has been the local culture response in Mexico? You know, do you have people protesting the gentrification? Do you have people saying, hey, we're glad you're here? Do you have people sort of saying, what do we do with these new strangers? What has the Mexican government in different major cities, how's their response been to this influx of Black people from the United States with money?
Yeah, I mean, from the perspective of the Mexican government and a lot of private companies like Airbnb, the response has been overwhelmingly positive, right? They do want that influx of cash. You know, Airbnbs and short-term rentals in Mexico City specifically have kind of blown up over the last couple of years. And they're on the market at rates that are about 8 to 10 times higher than the local rental market. So obviously that is how gentrification happens and that's how people get displaced. If you are walking through the 2 to 3 neighborhoods that are primarily composed of American expats, you will see posters telling people to go back to their country, telling them that we don't want you here. But I do think on an individual level, a lot of it does have to do with the intention of your move and the way that you're interacting with the local economy and unlocal people. So I have seen mixed response talking to Mexican nationals about how they feel about Americans more generally moving to the country and Black Americans more specifically. There has been a pretty good understanding of the fact that, you know, a lot of Black Americans are in the same way that you might think someone from South or Central America moving to the United States is moving or fleeing, whether it be racism or disaster in the United States. It's not obviously an equal experience, but there are a lot of through lines there that have allowed, I think, just based off of my observations, some Black Americans to feel more accepted in the country than maybe a white American moving from Silicon Valley.
What's the biggest difference between sort of expectations and reality? And I'll give you a classic example. So again, one of my friends who moved down there, they talked about healthcare. And again, having money, American money helps. But my friend was telling me that you can get concierge doctors and they get sick, somebody's going to come straight to your house. It's not complicated, and all sorts of different kinds of things are free. And that was surprising to her, you know, when she moved to the country. What are some of the things that when Black Americans get to Mexico that they're surprised at in a positive way? What are some things where they're like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to deal with this? What are some of those experiences like?
Yeah, definitely. Healthcare is one of them. I talked to a young Black woman who moved last year, and her experience going through the healthcare system there, not necessarily feeling the same level of discrimination or fear about being mistreated in that situation. And then when you're thinking about just like the daily cost of living expectations, so like you can get a full meal with, you know, a salad, fruit, and a coffee for $2, which obviously you can't find anywhere in the United States. Then when we're just thinking about some of like the privileges around getting around, obviously Mexico City has a big public transit system, but like you can get in an Uber to go from one place to another for $1, you know, a 30-minute drive. So it's something about that kind of safety within that setting, and also being not pampered in a sense, but feeling comfortable in a way that you can't in the United States in a lot of cities.
We're going to take a short break. We come back, more about African Americans leaving this country for Mexico with reporter Adam Mahoney. This is A Word with Jason Johnson. Stay tuned. I've got a special message for our listeners in Canada. It's about a show that I think you should listen to, Canada Land. Every week, Canada Land's journalists bring you news and conversations that honestly can be hard to find these days. With rigorous reporting and thoughtful analysis, their episodes bring you into the most important conversations from across the country. From a radical form of reconciliation emerging in Saskatchewan, to in-depth debates and gun rights and the rise of fascism, Canada Land stories will surprise you and make you think. Try Canada Land today and find out why Canadian news doesn't have to sound like Canadian news. Search Canada Land in your podcast app. You're listening to Word with Jason Johnson. Today, we're talking with journalist Adam Mahoney about the phenomenon of Black folks leaving America for Mexico. So, Adam, I'm assuming there's different waves with this, right? There are a lot of people who left the country during the pandemic. They were remote workers, or they became remote workers, and they went to South America. They went to Mexico. They went to the Caribbean. But many of those people eventually came back. When you talk to Black people who've moved to Mexico City, who've moved to Juarez, who've moved to Merida, did they move to Mexico with the intention of coming home? Like, hey, we're here until the kids graduate from high school? Or did they move to Mexico with the intention of, well, I'm going to stay here for whatever reason? I think this is my new home.
It's definitely been a mix based off of the folks that I talked to. There were people who, you know, when they left the United States, they knew they were never coming back. Even if that meant that Mexico wasn't the place for them, they were going to give another country or another region of the world a shot. But I will say, particularly since the pandemic, since around 2021, the ability to get a tourist visa to Mexico has, you know, gotten a lot easier, where you just walk in the country and you're allowed to be there for at least 6 months. So it does give people the opportunity to figure out if this is a place for them. And if that 6 months passes and it is, they just have to go back to the U.S. and apply for a temporary resident visa, which, being a citizen of the United States, is a quite easy task, depending on how much money you have in your bank account. So I do think it has been, like I said, a mix of reasons and responses, but it is not a challenging experience, definitely, when you're comparing it to folks coming through Mexico trying to get into the United States.
It's ironic to me, and you've mentioned this a couple of times, the idea of safety, right? Now, in America, we have police brutality. We got gun violence. We have, you know, this is a violent country. We're an incredibly violent country. But Mexico isn't necessarily the safest country in South America either. I mean, there's still cartel violence. There is still police brutality. You don't want to be put in prison in Mexico. So when you talk about these issues of violence, what have been people say negative experiences in Mexico? Have they had bad encounters with police? Have they had bad encounters with government officials? And how do those negative experiences compare with similar negative experiences back in the United States?
Yeah, the conversation around safety was super interesting to me, and a little ironic at points. Like you said, Mexico is not necessarily the safest country in the world. There are over 100,000 people on their missing and disappeared list right now. And a lot of that is driven by anti-Black violence in the same way that it is in the United States. But like I said earlier, a lot of the folks that I talk to, which might have to do with the fact that a lot of the American migrants to Mexico are finding themselves in the middle class range, are college educated folks, but it's like the dollar, having that financial security allows you to feel a lot safer. And I think obviously safety, even in the United States, a lot of it is about perception and individual experience more so than data or facts a lot of times. So a lot of people, like I said, do feel safer, but there have been a lot of folks that I talked to who have experience with police there, who have been in uncomfortable situations. I talked to one couple who a big reason why they left Florida to Mexico originally was because of police violence and police brutality and having that fear of being on the road out at night and being pulled over in Florida. And then in the 4 years that they lived in Mexico, they were pulled over by police almost a dozen times. And now they've left the country and find themselves in Colombia. So it is something, it is, police violence against Black folks is a through line no matter where you are in this world. But like I said, a lot of it does have to do with that individual perception of safety in the place that you find yourself.
I gotta say, if I was worried about police violence, I don't know that Mexico, I don't know that Colombia would be an upgrade over what you experience in Mexico. I wanted to ask a couple other things. This is also really fascinating to me. So I spent a lot of time in Mexico City, travel back and forth there doing research on elections. They have a president now of Mexico. People don't know the president serves one term there. They have a guy, Lopez Obrador, who has sort of helped break the one sort of party rule that they had for almost 70 years. Politically speaking, do the Black people who have moved down there, do their eyes still remain trained on America, or do they really sort of invest in being in that country? Because a lot of expats that I have met are really politically engaged back home. Like, I know people who moved to France and they're like, they join Democrats or Republicans abroad. I know people who moved to England and they're obsessed with MSNBC and CNN back in the United States. Do people who, Black people who move out of the United States to Mexico, do they get involved in local Mexican politics, or do they just stay very much tethered to the United States?
Yeah, I mean, I can only speak to the dozen or so folks that I interviewed while I was in the country, but it is really aligned with what you're saying. A lot of folks are actually more focused on politics in the U.S. I talked to one man who is retired, who he says he spends about an hour to 2 hours every day watching U.S. news in the morning. I spoke to a woman who was living in Houston before she migrated to Mexico, and she, after our conversation a couple of days later, she hopped on a flight to go vote in the primary in Texas. So there are people who are still politically engaged. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Mexico is right there, right? It's from Houston to Mexico City. That's a 2.5 hour flight. And then folks who are living closer to the California border, like you just drive on over back to the state. So it is, a lot of it does have to do with proximity, I believe.
If Trump gets back into the White House, do you think that will lead to an increase and people moving to Mexico? Because as you said, there's lots of different reasons why people go. At this point, it's not refugee migration, right? But do you think him being reelected in the United States, if that were to occur, would increase the numbers of people trying to leave?
I don't know if I could say specifically, but just based off of data, since 2016, right, we have seen an uptick in American migration to the country. A lot of the reasons why people moved were related to kind of that right-wing shift that we've seen in southern states across the country. So I do think, and based off of interviews, a couple of folks had that same kind of thesis, hypothesis, that we are going to see an uptick in Black Americans moving abroad. And a lot of the expats that I talk to definitely encourage Black Americans to move abroad. So I couldn't say specifically if that is what is going to happen, but a lot of things are pointing towards an increase if it did get to that point.
So according to the people that you've talked to down there, and like I said, people are going to be listening to this show, and I have friends who are expats. There are listeners who are expats, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is interesting. I'm going to go to TikTok. I'm going to find out where the cool places are in Mexico. I'm going to move to Juarez. I'm going to move to these different kinds of places. According to the expats that you've talked to, you've interviewed, the researchers you've spoken to, what are one or two things that you got to do before you move? I mean, obviously having a passport is important. A visa is important. What are some basic steps that you've got to take if this is a move you want to make as a Black person to Mexico?
Yeah, I definitely think a lot of that has to do with intention, right? And the reason why you're making the move. But talking to folks, some of the main things that people said is one, which is pretty simple, right? You can download Duolingo or you can take a class at your local community college, but just an attempt to learn some of, you know, functional level of Spanish goes a long way. And then obviously just doing, you know, your research. I talked to someone who, you know, spent 2 to 3 months just reading daily news before they moved so they could understand a little bit more of the lay of the land in terms of politics, the socioeconomic situation, as well as how to have conversations with folks when you're there. So you just have that slight understanding that puts you above a, you know, a clueless American that a lot of people tend to be when they first move to the country.
Adam Mahoney is the climate reporter for Capital B News. Thank you so much, Adam. You're going to make me sound really, really smart to a lot of people who I know abroad. So thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And that's a word for this week. The show's email is aword@slate.com. This episode was produced by Christy Taiwo Macanjula. Ben Richmond is Slate's Senior Director of Podcast Operations. Alicia Montgomery is the Vice President of Slate Audio. Our theme music was produced by Don Will. I'm Jason Johnson. Tune in next week for a word.
Fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.